I'm going to ask you if you can stand. Please stand and take the Word of God, the Bible. Turn to Psalms 107. It's also in your bulletin, but I'm going to refer to a few verses that are not in your bulletin. So Psalms 107, some of it's in your bulletin. Also, if you have an e-device, you can pull it up on your e-device, and I'll be preaching from the New King James Version of the Bible. Psalms 107, wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving psalm. I want to encourage you to read all of it. Read all of it. I won't preach all of it today, but read all of it. I preached some of it last week, and I preach a little bit more of it today. But a wonderful psalms. Actually, there's a whole family of psalms right in this area that talks about giving thanksgiving to our God. I'm going to read in our hearing Psalms 107, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to also read verses 10 through 15. Psalms 107, reading verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then verse 10 of Psalm 107. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. I'm going to preach this morning, saints. Thanking God after Thanksgiving. Thanking God after Thanksgiving. You may be seated. Thanking God after Thanksgiving. Thanking God even after Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Day. Thanking God. Because, you know, I know that Thanksgiving Day, the day that we call Thanksgiving Day, I know it's over and we've eaten our last little bit of leftovers and maybe even froze some stuff or maybe even threw some stuff out. I don't know. But some of you, I know y'all probably have shopped till you drop. You know, that's why y'all look extra laid back this morning. Probably shopped all weekend. Just wore yourself out. So Thanksgiving Day is over. So now what? Now what? Well, we still thank God. We don't allow some date on the calendar to dictate when we, the people of God, give our God thanks and adoration. We thank him every day. We should have been thanking him before Thanksgiving Day. Should have thanked him on Thanksgiving Day. Should have thanked him after Thanksgiving Day. We should thank him every day. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Monday, thank him on Monday. Thank him on Tuesday. Thank him on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Just thank our God always. As a matter of fact, as Christians, we're going to get to thank him throughout all, Brother Charlie, throughout all eternity. So even though Thanksgiving Day has passed, we are still called, summons to thank our great God. Matter of fact, the psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed, if you've been brought out of darkness, you ought to thank him every day. This psalm reminds us, and a little bit of this, the first part of this sermon will be a kind of a review of last week. This psalm reminds us, we're going to dive right on in. This psalm reminds us and tells us, shows us some vivid, valid, great reasons to be thankful to our God. One of them is right there in verse 1. Verse 1, the psalmist says, hey, just thank God because he's good. It's almost like he could end, or I can end the sermon even right there. You and I ought to thank God. We are compelled, we are called, we are summoned, we are commanded to thank God just because he's good. I just read it a second ago. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Why? For his goodness. He's a good God. So just thank God because he's good. He's not some evil, schizophrenic deity out there way out yonder somewhere. He's a good God. He's intrinsically a good God. That's one of his attributes. So thank God because he's good. Thank God also, right in this first verse, thank God because he has redeemed you. Thank God because he has redeemed you. You and I were lost. We were separated from God. We were actually literally enemies of God. We needed to be redeemed, and we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain even before the foundation of the world. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. So you ought to thank God because you are redeemed. Thank God for your redemption. If you're saved, if you're born again, that's reason enough to thank God. Also, another reason to thank God right out of these first two verses, because of his mercy. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy endures forever. His mercy does not run out. We don't have to be worried about, okay, God is merciful to me today, Sister Ingram, but if I wake up tomorrow, Sister Candace, he may not be merciful to me. He might have run out of his mercies for me. No, the prophet Jeremiah said, each day, the prophet Jeremiah said, we got new mercies. We got some new mercies each and every day. Psalms 23:6. Remember I mentioned that last week. We got goodness and mercy shall follow the believer all the days of his life. So remember, left leg goodness, right leg mercy. So every time you take a step, you ought to be saying, it's his goodness and it's his mercy. It's his goodness and it's his mercy. One of my first cousins put something on Facebook just the other day. She was saying how one of my first cousins, how she was run into, I think it was on Wednesday, run into by an 18-wheeler. Run into by an 18-wheeler. Pinned in her car. Trapped in her car. But oh, the mercy of God. It just so happened that a nurse was following my cousin. So when she got hit by the 18-wheeler and got pinned by that 18-wheeler, this lady who was a nurse stopped her car, got to the car of my cousin and her, and also the 18-wheeler driver got out, and they were there kind of ministering to her until the emergency people came. So here it is. She got pinned in her car by an 18-wheeler, but a nurse, God sent a nurse to be there to attend to her, and then they took her on to the hospital, and she was there for a few hours, but then they released her. That's the mercy of God. That's the traveling mercies of God. It's not every day you get pinned in your car by an 18-wheeler. It's the mercy of God. His goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. So you and I ought to be thankful because God is good. We ought to be thankful because his mercy is everlasting. We ought to be thankful because we are the redeemed of God and that he is a mighty deliverer. He is a mighty deliverer. Again, the context of this psalm, it was written pertaining to certain specific situations that the Jewish believers, the chosen people of God, were going through. Some things they had encountered. And so we as the people of God, we as Christians, we can look at how they responded and we can get some encouragement and some direction how you and I should encounter as we go through certain things. This psalm is a reminder. It's a reminder. You might want to write this down. It's a reminder. It reminds us to praise and to thank God, listen to this, for his continual deliverance. You and I ought to praise and thank God for his continual, his ongoing deliverance. He didn't just deliver me back in August of 92 and brought me out of darkness into salvation and said, well, okay, you're on your own. Now, I've seen continual deliverance since then. We ought to be thanking God for his continual, his ongoing deliverance. Brother Tyler and Sister Kayla, we should be thanking God for his ongoing deliverance. This psalm in verses 4 and 5 of Psalms 107, it looks as though they are in a wilderness, and many theologians surmise this might have been when God brought them out of Egypt, and because of their disobedience, they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness. Now look, this is a reoccurring theme in this psalm. One thing would happen. God's people would sin. They would mess up. They would get off track. They would sin. They would bump their head. They would go against the laws of God. But then they would have sense enough to repent and cry out and say, God, we messed up. We blew it. I confess. And then guess what? As they cried out, God would hear them and deliver them out of all their calamities. Out of all their distress. It's right there in the Bible, four different times in this psalm. They messed up, they sinned. That's not to glorify sin, but they sinned, they messed up. As Minister Terman said earlier, all of us stubbed, and the Bible said all of us have stubbed our toe, not just way back then, but some of us probably might have even sinned today or yesterday or last week. So they sinned, they messed up, then they repented, they cried out to God, and God delivered them, set them free, forgave them, and then the psalmist said, oh, you ought to thank him for that. It's a great cycle. Let me say that cycle again. They messed up. They sinned. They repented. They cried out. God forgave them, and they turned around and thanked God. Let me say that one more time. They messed up. They sinned. They got off track. But they repented. They cried out to God. And God heard them and delivered them out of all their distresses. And then the psalmist said, you ought to thank God for that. Oh, that men would give thanks for his goodness. See, God could be like a one strike or a three strikes and you're out. He could be a 10, a 20, a 30 strike God and you're out. And that still would be a bad sign. But the psalmist says, look at what he has done over the course of time in this one psalm for the people of God. In verses 10 through 16, it seems as though they're referring to a time when God's people were in prison. And then in Psalms 17 through 22 of Psalms 107, verses 17 through 22, God's people, they endured sickness. They endured sickness. So they've been in prison. They wandered in the wilderness. They've endured sickness. And then verses 23 through 32, God's people were in a storm. They were in a storm. Now all of these are different types of tough times. And again, these types of situations, they were because God's people themselves, slipped into sin. They slipped into sin. So that's a warning for you and me. We could take a lot of drama out of our lives if we just stopped all that sinning. We get by five amens. You just stop some of that sinning, we wouldn't have as much drama in your life. Now we live in a fallen world. I get that. You know, stuff is going to happen. I get that. But sometimes, oftentimes, a lot of times, the stuff that I'm in or you in, it's my own fault. It's your own fault. You can't be saying, God, why did I do this? Why did I get? Well, it's because you went against what God said to do. It's right there in your Bible. I read it earlier. Let me read it again real quickly. Psalms 107. Look at verse 10. Listen to this. Listen to this. Now, these are the people of God. These are the people of God. These are not some pagans. They said, the Bible said, they sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Listen to the imagery. They sat in darkness. They were in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. Why, Lord? Because they rebelled. They rebelled against the words of God. They despised the counsel of the Most High. In other words, they were saying, I know what the word of God says, but. That's a dangerous word when you put it out there. I know what the word of God says, but. So the people of God went against the words of God. And listen, it's always, this is like the self-explanatory, so you don't even have to write this down. It's always unwise. Somebody say unwise. It's always unwise to go against the words of an all-wise God. Matter of fact, it's foolish to go against the words of God. It's foolish to go against the all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful God. If he says do it, you ought to do it. If he says don't do it, don't do it. That's deep insight, right? If God says do it, do it. If he says don't do it, don't do it. Right? So in verses 10 through 12, though, they went against the words of God. They went against the counsel, Brother Brandon, they went against the counsel of God. But even after that, it says they cried out. They cried out to God, and God brought them out of darkness. He broke their chains and released them. I only have one or two witnesses here who have had some chains in your life broken. I mean, God is a chain breaker. He can break the chains of bondage. He can break the chains of fear. He can break the chains of insecurity. He can break the chains of low self-esteem. He can break the chains of some type of substance abuse. He can break the chains. He is a chain breaker. He is a God who breaks chains. And in verse 13 goes on to say how they cried out and he saved them out of their distresses. He saved them out of their distresses. Saved them from their strongholds. Saved them from sin. We've been saved as Christians. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. This is just basic, just a good soteriology 101, just salvation 101. We've been saved. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. As a Christian, we're not going to hell. Yeah, I'm going to pause there just for a moment. I'm glad. I said this last week. I'm glad. I'm eternally glad, eternally grateful that I'm not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. a place where I deserve, where I should have been, but God being rich in mercy, I'm glad he saved me from his eternal wrath. That's reason enough to say thank you. Thank you for saving me from the pits of hell. So he saved us not only from the penalty of sin, but watch this, he's also saved us from the power of sin. As a Christian, you and I, we don't have to sin. We got a new master. We're under new ownership now. We got a new master now. So he saved us from sin, the penalty of sin, the power of sin. Not only that, he saved us from strongholds. He saved us from the hand of the enemy. He saved us from our own self. He saved us from things, dangers seen and unseen. He is a God who saves. Sister Candace, he's a God who saves. I like the hymn. I tried to quote it last week. I like the hymn. That love lifted me. You know, God's love. God lifted me. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, heard my disparaging cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. God's love lifted me. Christ lifted me. When nothing else could do, love lifted me. All of us saints were deep in a pit. Love, God's grace, God's mercy lifted us up. So you ought to thank him. You ought to thank him. Thank him even after Thanksgiving. In verses 21 and 22, it talks about how you and I we're told to come and offer sacrifices. I'm going to give kind of an overview of several of these verses, and we're going to look at some specifically. Verses 21 and 22 talks about coming and offering a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, since the beginning of time, even when we see Adam and Eve, we see their children, Cain and Abel, coming to God to offer up sacrifices and offers of thanksgiving. God has incorporated that into the human race since the beginning of time. You and I, as Christians, we are called to come and offer thanksgiving to God. And watch this. Y'all know this. I'm preaching to the choir, as they say. It's supposed to happen just on Sunday morning. I said it isn't supposed to happen just on Sunday morning. It's good to come together corporately to worship God, corporately to thank God, corporately to praise God. But how dare you, child of God, wait until Sunday to say thank you? We should be thanking him every day. As a matter of fact, every moment of every day, we should be saying thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this air. Your air I'm breathing. I hadn't even paid you for it, but I'm breathing your air. Matter of fact, I'm using your lungs to breathe this air. I'm breathing out carbon dioxide and bringing back in oxygen. I thank you that I can just breathe. I thank you that I can walk and talk. I thank you that I indeed got a reasonable health and strength. I thank you for food. I thank you for clothes. I thank you for shelter. I thank you for friends. Thank you for my salvation. I thank you for a job. Thank you for my name. We got so many things to be thankful for. We got so many things, saints, to be thankful for. The psalmist said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So no, if nobody else said nothing, you ought to be saying something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we're told in this psalm to come bring our offer of thanksgiving, offer of praise. Come with joyful singing, the Bible says. Come rejoicing and come praising him. Come extolling him. Come magnifying his holy and righteous name. Come exalting him. Listen, because he is the superstar this morning. He is the center of the worship service this morning. It wasn't the choir. It is not the preacher. It's Jesus Christ. It's God himself. He is the center of the worship service. Matter of fact, if he's not the center this morning, we're just wasting our time. He should be the focal point of every worship service, corporate gathering. He should be the focal point of your life. Of your attentions, your affections. He should be in the center. He should be in the center, beloved. He should be in the center of your heart. Is he? He should be in the center of your life. Our Lord is the one who in verses 23 through 32, check this out. He raises up a storm. Brother Vizo did. He raises up the storm and the winds, and they cry out. And then our God, who caused the storm, he now calms the storm. Our God, who caused the storm in verses 23 through 32, he cried out, he calmed the storm. It kind of reminded me when I was reading that the last couple of weeks as I've been looking at this psalm. When Jesus was on got on a ship, he and his disciples, many of y'all remember this biblical account, and Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And so he gets into the ship, and he's tired, he's been preaching, he's been healing people, and he goes to sleep. He goes fast asleep in the billow of the ship, bottom of the ship. And the storm comes, y'all know this account, the storm comes, and so the disciples, and several of them were fishermen, so they said, we got this, we've seen storms before, we're handling this. And they tried to handle the storm, and they said, wait a minute, this is a storm, we can't handle this storm. And they got frightful, they got really fretful, they like, man, we're gonna lose it out here in this storm. And so they said, wait a minute, they remembered a good thing. Jesus Christ is on board. Let's go down and wake up Jesus. And they went down and woke up Jesus. And Jesus, I could see him kind of waking up and maybe getting a little matter and a little sleep out of his eyes. And they said, care is not that we perish. In other words, Jesus, you don't care. We're going to die out here. You don't care. And I'm thinking, man, Jesus just told y'all going to the other side. And I can hear Jesus say, I didn't come here to, I'm not going to be drowned. I got to go to the cross. And so Jesus gets up and he shows patience with his disciples, even though he told them, ye of little faith. And he went up to the billow of the ship, and he said, peace, be still. In other words, winds and waves, stop acting a fool. Peace, be still. And with that command, guess what? The winds calmed down. And the disciples were so amazed. They said, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. See, our Christ, our God, he can send a storm, but he can also calm the storm. Even if he doesn't send the storm, if he allows it to calm, Sister Michelle, he still has the power to calm the storm. And then watch this. Even if he doesn't calm the storm, just like Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh and he wanted the Lord to remove it. He prayed three times, Lord, remove this thorn. We don't know what it was, but it was a plague in him. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove it, but here's the shout. He said, my grace is sufficient. I'm going to help you to deal with it. I'm not going to remove it, but I'm going to help you to deal. Because sometimes the storms won't go down. Sometimes the billow cries will still raise up. But God, we serve a God who can help us endure the storm. He can help us endure the storm. I say he can help us endure the storm. That's a reason to give him thanks. So Lord, I'm in a storm. I'm trying to figure out what should I be doing in this storm? How should I respond? But I'm thankful that you're in charge of the storm. He's a sovereign God. He's in control of everything. There's not one, I like what R.C. Sproul used to say, if there was one molecule or one atom that was out of place, it's not one renegade atom or molecule in the whole universe. Everything is doing exactly what God told it to do. So that's a reason to say thank you. Then in verses 33 through 35, if you can get to that, look at that, verses 33 through 35. I'm just showing you why you and I should be giving him thanks, even after Thanksgiving. In verses 33 through 35 of Psalm 107, the Bible says, the psalmist says, God, he turns rivers into a wilderness. One translation said desert. He turns rivers into a wilderness or a desert, and the water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness. Why did he do it? Listen, there it is right there in that verse. For the wickedness of those who dwell in it. For the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So once again, these calamities will come upon the people of God because of their sin, because of their wickedness. So God turned rivers into wilderness or desert, then turned the water springs into dry ground. Then look, he turns around and turns a wilderness or a desert into pools of water. And then dry land into water springs. Who else can do that? Who else can take dry ground? Who else can take water and turn it into dry ground and then turn right back around and take dry ground and turn it into water? Nobody can do that but our God. Nobody can do that but our God. He's an all-powerful God. A couple more attributes about God, since we are thanking him after Thanksgiving. Jonah, chapter 4, verse 2, our minister Turner and I are blessed to be in this class on Tuesday night going through the minor prophets. It's really been good. And brother Jonah, in Jonah, chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah said this. He says, I know, talking to God, he said, I know, God, I know you are a gracious and a compassionate God. Slow to anger, brother Aaron, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And one who relents concerning calamity. Jonah said, God, I know you're a God who is, you're slow to anger. I know you're full of love and kindness. As a matter of fact, I know that at times you relent from sin and calamity. You're going to sin calamity. You say, well, I won't sin at that time. Jonah said, I know you're that type of God. So you ought to be thanking God that he's a God that's slow to anger. I said, you ought to be thanking God that he's a God who's slow to anger. Now let me bring this on home real quickly. We thank God for, I thank God for single moms or single dads. But as God set up the home, it's nothing like having a father and a mother in the home. And so even now, as I think about a heavenly father who's slow to anger, my earthly father who's with the Lord. Now, he was a deacon. He loved the Lord. Great dad. But his day job, he was like a supervisor at this lumber mill, this plant, a lot of rough blue collar workers. And so my dad, his temper was a little short anyway. And so he'd go to work. And, you know, he'd be a supervisor and folks be, because I worked for him one summer, folks be trying to not work. And my dad be, oh, pick up that lumber over there. Pick up. He's just real. He's real. He's on it. So when my dad would come home, somehow between driving from his job to his house, he didn't disengage. He didn't leave work at work. So he come home, he still be in foreman supervisor mode. If you do one little thing wrong, move a paper in the wrong spot, he'd be like, boy, why you put that over there? I'm like, Dad, to myself, you need to be slow to anger. You lose that temper real fast. But I'm glad that my God in heaven is not quite like that for us. I'm glad he gets a little more slack in a sense. So much so, listen to this. I'm just showing you some more reason to be thankful to our God. In Exodus chapter 34, God says this about himself. Where best to get a description of somebody from that person themselves, right? God himself said this to Moses about himself. Listen to what God says. He said, I am the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding. That means he has a lot of it. And abounding in loving kindness. Another word for loving kindness is mercy. God said, I'm abounding in mercy and loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness and keeps mercy for thousands, who forgives iniquities. God said, that's who he is. He said, I forgive iniquity. I forgive transgressions and I forgive sin. Yet, talking about himself, he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So this is what God says about himself. This is why you and I ought to be extra thankful this morning. God says that he is a merciful God. He said he's a long-suffering God, slow to anger. God said he's full of, he's abounds in loving kindness. God says, I forgive iniquity. He said, I forgive transgressions. He said, I forgive sins. He said, but I don't leave the guilty unpunished. So this morning, if you're in that category called guilty, and all of us were in that category called guilty until we came to Christ, but if you're in that category called guilty this morning, God says, come. I'm slow to anger. I forgive sin. But if you remain in that category called guilty, God says you will not go unpunished. So God is all these attributes. We ought to thank God for his mercy. We ought to thank God for his grace. We ought to thank him for his patience, his long suffering. We ought to thank God for his justice. We even ought to thank God for his wrath. The wrath of God. The guilty will not go unpunished. Those who do all kind of crazy stuff in this life, but yet don't turn to Christ. Guess what? God says they will not go unpunished. So let's don't paint the wrong picture of God. Sometimes people want to paint a picture of God who is just forgiving. He just, forgives sin. He's full of mercy, full of grace, slow to anger. He is. But they want to stop there. But God says, also, don't forget, I by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So sometimes even when we're sharing with some of our lost friends, we have to remind them, if you died in your lostness, God, because of his holiness and his righteousness, you will spend eternity separated from the love and the grace and the mercy of God. You will spend eternity experiencing the wrath of God. As God works in people's heart, that's a motivating factor for some people. You think, wait a minute, I don't want to be under the wrath of God throughout all eternity. So God, let me read this again. God said, I'm the Lord God. I'm compassionate. I'm gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth. I keep mercy to thousands, and I forgive iniquity. I forgive transgressions. I forgive sin. Yet by no means would I leave the guilty unpunished. Psalms 104 in verses 4 and 5, once again, it appears as though the saints of God were wandering around in the wilderness. They were wandering around in the wilderness, but God saw them, and God, they cried out to God, and God delivered them. Verse 6 tells us of Psalms 107, and then verse 7, look at verse 7, saints of Psalm 107. And then God led them. This is another great reason to be thankful. God led them. He led them by the right way. The ESV, the English Standard Version, and the NASB, the New American Standard, said he led them by the straight way. So he leads us by the right way, or he leads us by the straight way. That's another reason to give thanks. You might want to write that down. I'm thankful to God that he always leads us the right way. I mean, ponder that for a moment. Maybe we kind of know that. We just kind of like understood. But that's something to really be thankful and grateful for. We don't serve some crazy God that would lead us the wrong way every now and then. We know without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know when God leads me a certain way, without a shadow of a doubt, Sister Kathy, I know it's the right way. I don't have to wonder about, I wonder, is this the right way? I may have to wonder, am I hearing right? Am I following God correctly? But if I know it's God leading me, if his word says that he's leading me by his spirit, I know it's the right way. I don't have to wonder, is this the right way? I know it's the right way. So that's something to be thankful for, to be grateful for. He leads us by the right way. He always leads us by the right way. Always. He delivers us. Verse 6 tells us he delivers us. All of us in here, I can get a couple of witnesses. All of us in here at some point in our lives have been in some type of trouble and cried out, and God, as only he can do, delivered us. I mean, y'all can help me preach this morning. I mean, he delivered us. He came through, and whatever that situation was, you cried out to him, and he delivered you. He delivered you from a sin-sick and sin-cursed life. He delivered you from strongholds and bondages. He delivered you from darkness. He delivered you from depression. He delivered you from the hand of the enemy. He delivered you from maybe drugs or alcohol. He maybe delivered you from an unforgiving heart. He maybe forgave you or delivered you from some hurt you had in your life that you didn't think you could get over, but he delivered you from it. He delivered you from some type of sexual addiction. He delivered you from pride. He delivered you from some maybe bad words that would come out of your mouth, be it gossiping or slandering, but he delivered you from something. If you hear this morning, you've been delivered from some things in your life. You've been delivered from some stuff in your life. He's a mighty deliverer. He is a mighty deliverer. And so the psalmist says, you ought to give him thanks. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. So thank him because he is good. Thank him because his mercy is everlasting. Thank him because he redeems us. He has set us free. Thank him, saints, because he is a mighty deliverer. Thank him, saints, once again, because he always leads us the right way. Not the wrong way, but the right way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it this way. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge the Lord. And he shall direct your paths. He always leads us the right way. As I chronicle back through my life, you can do the same thing. As I look back over my life, when God says go left, and I go left, everything turns out right. I mean, maybe some ups and downs and bumps, but I'm in the right place. But when God says go left, and I go right, that was a jacked up situation. That was a messed up situation. And then I'm crying out for real. God, get me out of this. I know I should have gone the way you told me to go. Get me out of this. But every time I go the way he says go, it's always the right way. It's always the straight way. And then also in the text here in verse 7, it talks about how, actually verse 4 talks about how they were looking for a dwelling place. They couldn't find a dwelling place. And then in verse 7, it talks about how God gave them not only deliverance, but he took them to a dwelling place. He took them to a dwelling place or a resting place. So God gives us what we need. He is a provider. Not only does he lead us the right way, but he leads us to a dwelling place or to a resting place. He gives us what we need. He always, our God, always provides for all of our needs. Our spiritual needs, our mental and emotional needs, our physical needs, all of our financial needs, whatever need. I didn't say want, but whatever needs you have, our God will and has and does provide it. Somebody just missed a good place for amen, right there. All of our needs, he always provides. In verse 89, I'm almost through. He said, oh, that men would give thanks. It's like an encouragement, like a reminder, like a summons. Oh, that men would give thanks, that women would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So it's good to give thanks to the Lord because he is good. It's good to give thanks to God because his mercy is everlasting. It's good to give thanks to the Lord because he does redeem us. It's good to give thanks to the Lord because he is a mighty deliverer. It's good to give thanks to the Lord because he always leads us the right way. It's good to give thanks to the Lord because he always provides for all of your needs and all of my needs. And here it is, two more reasons right out of this verse. Good to give thanks to God because of his wonderful works. It's right there in the text, his wonderful works. And they're too numerous for me to even articulate this morning, but we ought to give thanks because of his wonderful works. And I want to really amplify this last one. Not only should we thank God because of his wonderful works, but also, you want to write this down, he satisfies the longing soul. He satisfies the longing soul. Fills the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies the longing soul. So again, he not only takes care of our physical needs, financial needs, all that stuff, but he also takes care of our spiritual needs. That's the greatest need for all of us in here this morning is a spiritual need. That's our greatest need. Jesus says it this way. He said, blessed are those in Matthew 5 and 6. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Is that your hunger this morning? Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. One theologian put it this way, said, inside of every person is a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. I mean, there's a void in everybody's life. See, God created us to be worshipers. I said, he created us to worship. That's why even now, you can go to the most remotest place. You can go anywhere you go on planet. If you find a group of people, they're going to be worshiping something. They may be working this big old rock over here. They think that's where their help comes from. They might be worshiping a tree. They might be worshiping the birds. They're going to be worshiping something. We were created to worship. We were created to worship. So a great shout, a great thing for us this morning is by God's grace, he has called us out of darkness. We're not worshiping some crazy stuff, but we have an opportunity to worship the true and living God. We have the opportunity to worship the true and living God. That's not the only reason, but that's why you see a lot of people, some people who are like maybe, because that void, only God can fill that void. He satisfies the longing soul. No matter money can't do it, power or prestige can't do it, fame and fortune can't do it. None of those things can ultimately satisfy that void that only God can fill. That's why we can see people like a Robin Williams, you know, who was a good comedian, funny guy, one of my favorite comedians, you know, good clean comedian, and made people laugh most of his life, but yet for whatever reason committed suicide. You know, people are always looking for something or looking for significance or looking for this. And they're really looking for Jesus. They're really looking for God. You might think, well, if I get this next job, or if I get this next car, or if I get this next house, or if I get that, none of that would fill that void. Only Jesus, only God can feel the hunger that he has created in us. So a reason to thank him, saints, is because he satisfies our longing souls. I remember, having grown up in the church and those things. But I remember, you have all these little goals. And I'm like, okay, once I, get out on my own and go to college, number one, don't you say or do this, Sister Bailey, but number one, I was like, okay, once I get out from around my parents, I won't have to go to church. Bad mood. I was like, I didn't listen to the words of God. A bad mood. But I was thinking, well, I go on and work hard, get my little degree, and get out and get me a job, start making my own money and get my own place and get my own car and all that, everything going to be good. And and all that stuff was okay for a minute. But then I kept noticing, Brother Erskine, something was missing. Something was still one thing. I thought I got this and got this little accomplishment and got this. And I was like, is this all it is to life? Is this it? It was only until by God's grace I began walking with Jesus, and I said, oh, now my parents, my folks tried to tell me, the Sunday school teacher tried to tell me, the preacher tried to tell me, that's what I've been missing. I can go out and buy 100 cars and do all that. I still would have been missing it. A longing soul. The psalm is one of my favorite passages in all of the scriptures, Psalm 42. It says, as a deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Only God can feel that type of void. Only God can cure that type of call. Only God can deal with that insatiable desire that you and I have as a Christian to be closer to the Lord. The closer you get with Jesus, you want to get closer to him. I'll have some witnesses right there. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you want to get to him. I want to be like Enoch, who walked with God so close that God just took him on to heaven. If you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. Be like, God, fill me more with your spirit. Lead me into all truths. Convict me of sin. Give me power over sin. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Let me experience your manifest presence. Only God. That's a good thing to cry out to God. Say, God, let me experience more of you. And guess what? This verse and other verses, maybe somebody experienced it can attest. A reason to thank God is he does satisfy the longing soul. He changes our desire. He gives us more of a desire. Yeah, we miss the mark sometimes. He gives us more of a desire to live holy, to be more righteous, to be more like him and not like the world. He transforms those desires in us. Because, see, this satisfying the longing. So it doesn't happen just at salvation. That's the opening of the door. That's the beginning. That's the first step. That's ground one. If you're not born again, you can't be close to the Lord. No. But once you get saved, that's just the beginning of the relationship. It's kind of similar even to when a child is born. That's the beginning of their physical birth, but they grow and get closer to the parents, right? So when we get born, we get saved, get born again. That's the beginning of this lifelong journey, if you will. And so we can be thankful this morning that God satisfies the longing soul. Jesus says this way, he says it much better than I, much better than I. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A life that's purposeful, a life that's meaningful, a life that's on point, a life that's with him. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if we hang out together, if I abide in you and you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And then Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus, that's my desire to hang out with you. He said, I'm knocking. That was written to the church. Revelation 3, Church of Laodicea. He said, I'm knocking at the door. Oftentimes we use that verse, and we can, as a salvation verse, like come to the Lord. But really, that was written to the church. He said, I want to come into you and sup with you and dine with you. So give thanks even after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day is past. But you can thank God even right now. Let me run through this real quickly. Right again. Thank him because you are redeemed. Thank him because he's good. Thank him because he always leads you the right way. Thank him because he provides for all of your needs. Thank him because of his wonderful works. Thank him because he satisfies your longing soul. Nobody else could do it. No amount of money could do it. No place you're living could do it. But only God can satisfy a longing soul. Pastor friend of mine shared this with me on Thursday. I'm going to share it with you then we're through. When you think about thanks, T-H-A-N-K-S, thanks, thanks, giving thanks, giving thanks after Thanksgiving Day, giving thanks even after Thanksgiving Day. T is God is trustworthy. You can thank him because he's trustworthy. The H in thanks. Thank him because he's holy. Matter of fact, he's not just holy, but he's holy, holy, holy. You can thank him. The A in thanks. Thank him because he's amazing. He's an amazing God. He's also almighty and all-powerful and all-knowing. You can thank him because he is the end. My pastor friend said end because he never neglects me. That's what he said. You can get personal. Never neglects me. So you can say he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He never neglects me. So I'm going to thank him because he's a never-leaving God. And then the K in thanks. Thank him because he's kind. That's one of his attributes. He's a kind God. And then the S in thanks. Thank him because he's sovereign. Meaning he's in charge. He's a ruler. He's king. He's Lord. He's in control of everything. He's sovereign. But give him thanks. Thank him because he's trustworthy. Thank him because he's holy, holy, holy. Thank him because he's amazing. Thank him because he never neglects you. Thank him because he's kind. Thank him because he's sovereign. Give him a hand clap of praise. We're going to keep on thanking him even after Thanksgiving. Thank him even after Thanksgiving. Dear Lord, we do thank you. We thank you not just on Thanksgiving Day. We thank you not just before Thanksgiving Day, but we want to thank you after Thanksgiving Day. We want to thank you next week, next month, next year. Throughout all eternity, dear God, we have the privilege, the blessing,